Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from thousands of successful individuals from around the world. I'm your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm delighted to welcome a very, very accomplished professional from London, UK, Mr. Jonathan Detzel. Jonathan, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ashutosh. Lovely to be here.
Thank you. Jonathan is the managing director of Feedback Films, and he's leading the way on employee-generated content. So Jonathan, before we start talking about Feedback Films, tell me a little bit about your own journey in brief.
Oh, it's an interesting story. I was actually on a reality TV show. It was basically a big call out. Lots of people were asked if they would like to take part. And it was the same format as The Apprentice, if you've ever seen The Apprentice. Mm-hmm. Except rather than the Trump, we had the attorney, the head of the BBC at the time, right, as our Trump figure. And basically it was, individuals competing, making different formats of shows each week. And I got to the final. Yeah. And previous to that, I had a free college company, which I set up in Australia. So it was a complete direction change. I think in my life, I was looking for something different. Mm. And I took a chance, did this reality TV show. It really came out good for me. And then from that, I started to work for different channels across the UK. So I worked for Channel 5, Channel 4 for a bit. And I really enjoyed the making and creating television, writing formats, development was really interesting to me. And then a little segue from that, once I realized that TV is a very toxic work environment, to be honest. It didn't really sit well with me working with some just crazy egos and I never really had any time to myself. Mm. And I came up with an idea to work with academic think tanks and academic institutions. So they wrote reports, but no one ever read those reports. Mm. And I wanted to make them into many form documentaries for Facebook and Twitter, which was just starting to emerge at the time. Mm. And it really created a very niche for us. And that was started to get recognized by, our films are put on YouTube and so forth. And we started to rub shoulders with people in Google and GSK and RBS, and things like the European Diversity Awards, which we'd be covering at the time for different think tanks. And cards were exchanged. Mm. And we went from making sort of short form documentaries to we moved over. At that time, it was a very turbulent time in the UK, and a lot of think tanks had their funding slashed. And as a business, we had to pivot. And we pivoted into basically corporate communications. And we, first of all, were really involved in all the sort of D&I aspects, looking at gender equality, race equality, and really working out how businesses were going to navigate that forward. Mm. And we did that for, a good 10 years. And again, we had to pivot because companies just couldn't afford to have big crews come in to film one or two interviews, and everyone had a smartphone at the time with a really great camera. Mm. And what we thought was, why don't we teach people? Why don't we, democratize this by getting employees to really understand how to film themselves? And in a lot of cases, that's quite hard. Feedback as an organization, we help organizations get on that employee generated communications journey. But that's really where we've ended up now. We're probably one of the leaders in the UK in employee-generated communications, helping companies like Google, Direct Line Group, GSK, really get on that journey. And it's been absolutely fantastic. I love it. Every day I'm blessed to have the job that I do.
Mm, very interesting. And then when you started Feedback Films, one of the things that I was reading which got me very fascinated was what you call employee-generated content. So are you saying that you just told employees to start picking up their mobile phones and start shooting?
No. I think that really worries, obviously everyone in the organization. Uh-huh. Like, what are we going to do here? Obviously, everything's edited. You never have something that someone films and Raleigh puts out, especially on the company intranet, that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
But what employee-generated content is all about is actually not going to the senior leaders or the senior management team every time for, a strategy, debrief. We've all heard this before and we know what they're going to say. We hear them a lot. Mm. But what we're trying to do is democratize this by giving employees their voices. So a lot of the time, for example, I'm working on a big piece right now for GSK. So this week and next week, I'll be interviewing over 50 employees. And so it's quite simple. We set up a Zoom call and then I get the employees. I'm asking the questions. So it's a little bit easier, you know, a bit harder to direct and produce yourself. So I'm there to kind of cajole you along, really get the best out of you while you film yourself with your own smartphone. That footage gets sent to us. We have a team of editors and we start making that into something which is watchable, shareable, and really moves the dial in some major initiatives within businesses.
Fascinating. So my next question to you is on communication. You know, communication is a much maligned term, you know, and someone is a good communicator, someone's an effective communicator. But I want to ask you, Jonathan, what are some of the challenges a lot of people face in communication, especially when it comes to talking to a larger audience?
What do you mean by a larger audience?
More than four or five people, which is outside their own office.
I think people are, you know, I think comms department have a challenge, you know, like they, you know, I don't think they get the recognition that they really deserve. And I also think as well that people have a really bad view of getting involved in communications within companies. A lot of people, like, you know, they've kind of been burned before. Also as well, like, there's such a gap between sometimes what is said in communications, and what is really happening in a business. And employees are savvy for that stuff, you know? And once they find out, it's kind of like, I don't know, it feels a bit propaganda-ish. That's where they sort of lose faith in any sort of like global-wide communications, you know? What is, I think that's it. It's like realign. How do we get like trust back in our businesses from our people? And the only way to do that, I think, is through employee-generated communications, because they keep you honest. You can't pay everyone off in a business. You know, but also as well, you can't always tell good news stories. Stories have got their highs and their lows. And that's just about it. To me, what I'm interested in is the flow of communication, right? So, you know, when you go to the doctor and he asks you how much you drink, you never tell them the truth. Because you always feel that the doctor's a little bit higher than you, you know, a little bit, you know, he's judging you in some sort of way. And the flow of communication has a barrier there. Now, when someone like a friend or someone that you trust, someone you know, tells you something, you take it on board. You know, it's the flow of communication. There's no judgment there. You listen. If you were on your, you know, on the side of being quite negative about something, that's the person that will change your opinion. Someone that you sort of trust, know, and believe in. You know, and that's your colleagues. You know, a lot of the time, I mean, right now, businesses are grappling with how do they take their net zero plans or roadmaps from the you know, PowerPoint slides into people's everyday life at work. How do we get people to reduce their carbon? Well, you don't get it by the CEO telling you better reduce your carbon. That's never going to work. But if you hear a colleague say that, you know, she switched every single one of her cleaning products to eco-friendly cleaning products, and she finds that, you know, one, it's saving her money, and two, she feels, you know, that she's doing better for the environment, you might be like, oh, okay, that's an interesting thing. You're more willing to take on that, you know, that information and do something with it.
Interesting. So based on all the work that you've done making these films, I'd love to get your perspective on how effective is visual to communicate as compared to the written text?
But it all depends. And that's a good question, actually. Like, I don't know, I'm not a reader. You know, I'm a very slow reader as well. I get kind of lost in it sometimes. And also as well, I'm quite prone to misinterpreting written text. And that's just me, you know. I know I speak for quite a lot of people like that, you know. And there's sometimes, you know, keep it short and snappy, I'll probably take it in. But I am a big believer in seeing is believing. I don't know, you know, there's something, you know. If I can sit back and listen to someone and look into the whites of their eyes, I'm always going to do that than read a paragraph. So, I mean, that is just me. I know so many people, like, for example, you know, I'm a different kettle of fish to the editors that work within my business, you know, and a lot of them would say that they much prefer to read. That's probably because they're constantly looking at the screen, you know, all the time. But it's just how you take it. And I think you've got to do both. There's not one that's better than the other.
Correct.
But trust me, if you want to engage the unengaged, and that's what we want to do. You know, in communications, there's already a whole bunch of people that are going to watch your videos and read and comment, like and share. That's, you know, they've already drunk the Kool-Aid, you know. Mm. It's the people that are on the fence, the people that could be toxic to telling the other people that, you know, that those are the people you want to get on board. And that's why I think employee-generated communications is great as well, because you can actually use those people in your communications.
Mm.
And by just sheer osmosis that they've been involved in a video process, you get their buy-in, you know. And they might tell you a rough story, you know, about but also as well, they feel included, they feel their voices are heard. And I think that's really, you know, that's really powerful when you're trying to bring people with you. So, you know, there's a tendency for the comms department to always choose the people that have put their hand up first.
Mm.
And that's really not the type of people that feedback we want to interview. We want to interview the people that don't often get heard. And believe it or not, when you include those people, your communications become one, more authentic, and two, a lot more valuable. They'll have the effect on the people you want to affect, which are the disengaged, a lot more than the drink and the Kool-Aid bunch.
Amazing. So you're always looking for the guy, you know, when you're on stage and there's you, the thing, who's going to volunteer, and the guy who's hiding behind someone, you say, okay, I'm going to pick you.
Totally. Because actually, those are the people you want to hear from.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to hear from, you know, I was always a child in class that had, you know, if I knew the answer, I always had to put my hand up. I'm sure people were so sick of my voice, you know. But when you heard from, you know, Jacqueline at the back who never speaks, that's when you really listen.
Well said. So tell me, you know, based on all the videos that you have produced, how do employees react when they see their own content, which they have shot, as a part of the finally edited film?
They love it.
Hmm.
I mean, I think genuinely, this is the thing, like, you know, when you release a bit, so say you've interviewed maybe 20 employees, you've edited it all down, you've made a 3.5-minute film, it's going to go on LinkedIn, yeah? Now, if that video goes on LinkedIn sent from, say, the insurance company that did it, it's a bit, it doesn't get the likes, the hits and shares. But when the people that were in the video start to send that out, you know, say, check out this really interesting video that we did around the gender pay gap, you know, that gets a lot more traction. Central communications, it's really difficult to get the traction you want, because, you know, like the central comms isn't a human being, it's not someone you know. But when the people who were in the film then disseminated themselves, it gets just so much more traction. And that's the great thing. And but it's very tricky to do. You've got to make sure the person that's, you know, that's sending the video out, that's communicating, that was involved in the film, really enjoyed making the film and really likes the way they're represented. You know, it's really important, because when they're hyped about it, when they're excited about it, you can tell. And that has an effect on how well the video does, internally and externally.
Yeah, very interesting. And, you know, talking now of technology, you know, you've sat behind the camera with those big cameras and a big crew of people, then you now move to handheld devices, which employees are using in films. I'd love to get your perspective, Jonathan, on what do you see as the future use of technology in making a lot of these films? I mean, there's this whole new world of the metaverse that has suddenly come, where everything is going to be in 3D. What are your perspectives?
I don't think we're there yet. Okay. I think, you know, we're still addicted to emails, you know, rather than, you know, and also as well, the pandemic and Zoom and, you know, I'm still working it all out about where we're at and what's the next thing.
Correct.
I think that in terms of, like, you know, people's fear of being on camera is definitely waning. Yeah, the smartphone is just the ultimate device. You can do everything with it. You can work from anywhere. What the future is basically this hybrid working. Yeah, it's the fact that everyone can work from anywhere. You know, you could, you know, I've just had you know, my in-laws over from Bermuda who were working here. You know, it's amazing. You know, so technology is going to have this amazing effect of bringing global teams together. You know, and that is when we get the real diversity and inclusion piece. Yeah, it's not just a few people from, you know, the UK, you know, a few Scots, a few, you know, we're talking about global teams that are coming together through Zoom meetings. And you know, as a business, we went virtual just after the pandemic, you know, and I was like, how is this going to work? You know, do I need to be over the top of my, you know, editors all the time? Do I need to, you know, and you don't, you know, if you've worked for them for 5, 6 years in an office, you trust them already. You know, people, you know, you can collaborate so much now, you know, just like what we are doing now. That's really the future. It's us building that out, us actually committing to working anywhere, anytime, you know, and being committed to using, you know, video technology as if we would an email.
Thank you. Great response. There's another very interesting aspect of communication that I want to get your thoughts on. You know, when I was when I started, you know, very, very young in the corporate world, marketing, advertising, communication was a minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, cinema theater advertising, full page advertisements. Today, everything has changed to, you know, 30 seconds, the elevator pitch, and now TikTok says make it in 10 seconds. As someone who knows communication so well, how is communication going to change when you have such a short time to be able to pass on your message?
Well, is it a short time? That's the thing. Is it a short time? Hmm. You know, when you are an adept communicator and you can use every visual cue and trick that you have, actually a minute's quite long. You know, so it's what you do with it. It's actually not looking at the length of time you have and more of what you can say in that time, you know. Also as well, like having such a short space of time really gives you clarity, you know, because you can't throw three balls at people, you know. And when you throw three balls at people, they never catch them. They only catch one. So it helps you really distill it. What are we saying here? What do we, you know, the video isn't important. It's what they do after the video that's important. It's how they feel afterwards or whatever, you know? So really try and build up this, you know, whatever emotion that you want them to feel, you can do it in that minute. You don't need, you know, like you don't need 4.5 minutes. Most people after a minute are thinking, what are they feeding the dog? What am I going to have for dinner tonight? When do I have to pick up the kids?
Absolutely. Well said. Well said. The other thing I want to check with you is on culture. You know, culture has a big impact on communication because some people like to talk about themselves. Some people don't like to talk about themselves. There's so many people I meet who just say, let my work speak for itself. If you, as you say, go across the pond, then unless you talk about yourself, you're not going to make it big in any company. So what are your thoughts on culture impacting communication?
It's massive, massive. And, you know, I really see, I get to like sort of like taste cultures like ice cream, you know, because I work for so many different businesses, for so many different industries. It's just perfect because I get to see, you know, for example, like I work for, you know, like a, you know, a bank like Coutts, you know, which is the Queen's Bank, and so much, you know, history and prestige and whatnot. And the culture is so different to say working with, say, a Google or, you know, an insurance company, Direct Line Group or somewhere like that, you know. So I get to sort of like taste cultures, you know, and really see how they eat. And so many of them are different, you know. But what I notice and what I really feel now is purpose is key to all of that. You know, like, you know, the idea that everyone in the business can be linked to the purpose, whether you work in, you know, in accounts or whether you're in marketing or whatnot, you know, your GSK is, you know, together ahead. It used to be live longer, feel better, do more, you know, the idea of, you know, of people like sort of tapping into that purpose is, I think, I haven't seen anything quite like it in the last 5 years. It really has. It's kind of overtaken culture, the purpose. But the culture was the work you got, you did to give yourself that purpose, you know, and get everyone. It's amazing how much everyone can sing from the same hymn sheet when you get that, you know, that piece right. And so many of the businesses I work in, I'm so impressed that they really do land the purpose so well in everything they do.
Very interesting. You know, as Peter Drucker, the father of modern management, said, culture eats strategy for breakfast, you know. But moving on, I have time for two more questions, Jonathan. And my next question is, I think, like almost like I'm trying to extract the juice of everything that you've already told me. What goes into making a good film?
People. You know, you don't have anything if you don't have you know, a really great, authentic person telling it, you know? And you can, and just as human beings, we just smell a rat so easily when it's just fake. So, you know, if you can get someone just a genuine comment, you know, like some of the tricks to it are, first of all, as a producer, you have to be extremely interested in people no matter what. You know, your enthusiasm for them brings out them, you know? And if you, and also as well, never set things up, never give too many questions away, keep it vague. So the moment that you spend with that person extracting the real essence of what you're talking about in the, this internal film or external film is fresh, you know? I always give the example of when you go to like a wedding and the best man stands up and he's got a list and he pulls it out and he starts reading it and you just, the whole room just head goes down. It's not from the heart. It doesn't mean anything. It's not real. He's thought about this too much, you know? And it's just those off-the-cuff moments with employees that really tell you how they feel. It's just so bankable, you know? And when I've got that, I know that it doesn't matter what else, if the lighting's gone bad, if the sound goes down, you know, whatever, you know, like, I'm not interested in making art. I don't make art. I make communications, you know? And so when I have a genuine, you know, response, you know, a genuine feeling from the person, that's when I know I've made a, you know, I'm going to use that, you know, that's definitely going to be in the film.
Fabulous. And my last question to Jonathan, and this is for the many, many people who will listen to our conversation. Based on your vast experience as a filmmaker and as a communicator, what would you say are three lessons you would want our viewers and listeners to take away from your knowledge and your journey?
That's a very good question. What three lessons? I think the first lesson is like no one's bigger than the show. You know, you're a filmmaker, but drop your ego at the door. There's no one more important than the person that you're filming. You know, like if you're lucky like me, you filmed everyone from CEOs right down to security guards. You know, and the staying humble. You know. Letting that person be themselves is about you taking sort of a back seat, you know? And so a lot of people that I see that get into, you know, communications or, you know, filmmaking, they walk in with such big egos and I'm like, oh, that's not going to work because, you know, CEOs and senior managers, they've got their own ego, you know? And the room's never big enough for two. So, you know, like, you know, drop your two... You've got to understand the point of view of employees, yeah? If you're going to make a film, yeah, you have to take the temperature of what those employees are feeling. If they've just had like a really grueling acquisition and merger situation going on, you know, maybe they don't want a Christmas video, you know? You've got to take work out who your audience is. Work out, and then finally, I think, stand up to people who you know, like at the end of the day, you're a business, you've got you're an advisor to a lot of your clients, and if you believe in something, don't just back down, you know, put your point, they might not go with it and that's fair enough, you know, but always give your experience and expertise over. I say, no, that's, I don't think that's going to work, you know. I like that people, it comes, people, they might come up with some amazing elaborate idea. You know, you listen to it, but you have to give your opinion. If you don't think it's going to land, or, you know, you just feel that there's a better way to do it, you've got to stand your ground, tell them what, and half the time they're like, boom, that's exactly what I wanted, but that's a lot easier way to do it, and we can do it in the time and in the budget and whatnot. So, you know, don't just nod your head and do whatever they want. You know, you've got to share your expertise and knowledge because they trust you as an advisor then.
Well said. And on that note, Jonathan, and your three wonderful pieces of advice or three lessons, no one is better than the show. The show must go on. Yet you must keep staying humble when you are doing your work on this. Understand the employee's point of view, because that is really what truly brings out the heart of the organization. And the third one you said, which is so important, is stand up to people and believe in yourself. Thank you, Jonathan, for speaking to me about your own journey, about Feedback Films. Thank you for talking to me about communication, about employee-generated content, and for all the wonderful things that seem to be happening in your world. Thank you again and good luck.
It was my pleasure. Thank you so much, Ashutosh. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.